together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Digney, and I've got my wife by my side.
Hello.
Not really, actually sitting across from me at the table so I can see her lovely face. Uh-huh. And we're going to keep digging into love. But it is love like you might not understand or being hearing enough about in our culture. When you turn on the radio, when you watch your favorite Netflix series, when you pick up your favorite novels, you are probably not getting a hold of everything the Bible says about love. There are some pieces of love that are being ignored altogether and diminished, and the Bible brings it all. I've talked about in a previous show, there are four words for love in Scripture because they use the Koine Greek. Eros, sexual love, desire. Storge, family love. Philia, friendship, brotherly love, and agape. Well, today we're going to dig into friendship. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought it was a marriage podcast. It is. And news alert, you should be friends.
Right.
Friends. So we're going to talk some about what does that mean? What would it look like in real time? And so the definition of philia, according to the Greek word that they were using, it speaks of a brotherly friendship and affection. It's the love of deep friendship. And here's an important word, and partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And I would add, it might be described as the highest love of which man without God's help is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Truly loving, brotherly love, affection, a real person that's close to you, to the point that it begins to form a partnership and a team. Let's talk about that some more, Vicky.
Yeah, I just think this, I like how the Greeks did use these four words. And I think this particular one is so important in marriage. And I think it's one that perhaps sometimes the wife is more in tune with than the husband. Just because he thinks it'll just all work out. Well, it's not just going to all work out. But I don't want you to be overwhelmed. Once again, this is not legalism like, oh, Brad and Vicky, you're bringing me down. All these things now we have to do. No, as you love your spouse and lean into them and you're receiving love from Christ, who's now you can have that love to give to your spouse, it's just kind of a natural overflow. And I think one of the reasons we don't necessarily experience this type of team or partnership
or friendship love.
Yeah, the friendship love is, you know, familiarity.
Breeds contempt.
I can't say it. Thank you. It breeds contempt. So I think just like when we first moved here to Northern Kentucky 30 years ago, it is just beautiful. There's rolling hills. It's green. There's little white fences. There's horses. And I just remember thinking to myself, this girl that grew up in South Georgia, everything's flat. It's beautiful in a very different way. I never want to take this for granted.
Yeah.
And so sometimes even just as I'm driving down to, you know, Costco, I'm like, okay, I'm going to look at that hill and take joy in it, knowing I haven't always lived here. This is a beautiful place.
It is so funny that you're saying this. Yesterday, the interstate was a mess. We live right next to I-75. And so as I was leaving work, I always checked Waze and it said, do not get on the interstate. It took me back roads that popped me out.
Thank you, Waze.
Over in a place called Independence.
Trust the system.
And so I'm coming down a smaller highway and literally we've had just rain lately. And I'm just surrounded by green, lush green hills.
It's pretty common.
And I just said, God, this is absolutely beautiful. I can't believe I live here. But you're making a good point that if you're not careful, you just don't see it anymore.
Right.
It happens in marriage. Here's what I would say about this component. We're wanting to unpack some friendship love. Friendships do often just happen, but you're not thinking carefully enough about how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
There's reasons it
Good
happened.
Point.
But here's what you got to understand. If you want the friendship to stay alive, there are things you've got to keep doing.
Right.
So it does feel like sometimes a friendship just happened, mm-hmm. but we're going to talk some about what friendship really is. There were components that were in right. place that caused that to, there's mm-hmm. a friendship. There's
and I think part of that is you don't start taking your spouse yeah. for granted. And I was made more aware of this recently. Brad had some pretty significant possible health problems. And so he was already at work. And I just
they were discovered thinking, in my physical that I had.
Right. And so, you know, as you start thinking about these things, I'm like, I mean, I actually got teary-eyed. I just thought, like, I could live without him, but wow, I would really miss if something happened to him. Like, you know, and they're still not resolved to this day. We're hopeful, but, you know, it's just, it really got my attention. And I thought, once again, you don't take your spouse for granted. What if they weren't here?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen one day. And I think now seeing both of our parents each lose spouses,
yeah,
it really makes you realize this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And let's make the most of our time together. So turn around and look at your spouse and just remember, I'm glad I have them. Once again, imperfect spouse, yes, we're all imperfect. But just to kind of rekindle, I don't want to take my spouse for granted. And I think often we do, just especially those of us that have been married quite a few years.
And if they weren't there, what would be different? What would you, I know it's easy, be careful. You're so aware of what bothers you. You think, well, that wouldn't be there. I'd be so much happier.
And that's true.
But you would find, my goodness. Oh, you hurt me so, girl.
We do
go around sometimes, like, you know, sometimes she's like, oh, you and your ninja in the morning with your breakfast thing.
I'm
like,
my goodness.
And I'll say to her, you could be a widow.
Talk about a
sleeping in with
symbol.
No ninja making a
ninja.
Noise,
it
but you have
so
a precious
loud.
Husband that's grinding
so
his
loud.
Breakfast.
It wakes up anyone in the whole home. I mean, it's just like,
I'm starting with, but aren't you glad I'm eating healthy?
That's
I'm taking
right.
care of myself.
I have a husband
grinding
who uses
carrots
the ninja.
And kale and protein
and we've tried to buy a new one. He doesn't like it. He's a very loyal man, and once he
well,
sees something, he doesn't
news
want
alert,
to change.
They're all loud.
Yeah,
she's convinced a brand new one would be quieter.
Well, we
no?
got one.
Was it quieter?
It wasn't quieter, and it didn't grind as well.
There you go.
So
there you go. But where were we?
I don't know.
Friendship.
Friendship.
Yes. It is. Here's what people don't understand, because sometimes people are like, oh, I want a friend. And they think you just get online and pick somebody. I would love to be her friend.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help you. Friendship is the result of shared interest.
Mm-hmm.
Things you both care about. And so let's talk some more about, in your view, how you can cultivate this sense of friendship in a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of it is just, like we've mentioned, it's just thinking of someone besides yourself.
Well, it starts with that for
right.
sure.
So Brad and I, he literally has a ninja every single morning. It's probably been like 30 years. The man doesn't change things, which is good for me. He's very loyal. He doesn't change spouses. He doesn't change his ninja. He eats the same thing every day for lunch.
I like routine. So I will keep loving you,
right.
girl.
But one thing he does is he uses oats in his ninja. And so we have these really pretty, like, they're like pirate. What am I? What
canister, airtight.
Yeah, they're plastic.
Storage tubs.
So we had the oats in that. And then, of course, we keep them. I get the big things from Sam's, and we buy them.
5-pound
right.
box of oats.
So I sometimes use the oats for smoothies or oatmeal. And just like, you know, as you realize it's getting to the end, I mean, in my mind, I'm like, okay, it's not close enough. He can fill it up. And I'm like, okay, now he's a busy man. Go fill it up. Like, you know, it's getting close to the end. Just simple things like that. Thinking of someone besides yourself instead of thinking, what can I get away with and how little can I do?
Being
you think, you know
team.
What? That would help him.
Even
it's
like,
not quite towards the bottom, but I'm going to go get it out of the front pantry and fill it up.
Considering others and their interests. So I was a little surprised by the reaction I got from Vicky, but it popped into my head. I should just ask her, you know, it was a weekend. It was last weekend that I didn't have extra pastor things on Friday, Saturday, graduations or a mm-hmm. wedding or a funeral. And so I just said to her, I think I shot you an email. I can't remember what it was, but I said, what would you like to do this weekend? I'd love to do something that would please you.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, I think it was a phone call when I'd called her. I said, be thinking. She's like, wow, what I... Yeah, of course, she chose, I was thinking, like, which restaurant? But she chose, let's go biking. And I thought, all right, all right, that involves a little more. I got to put the rack on the car and put the bikes on, strap them on.
But he had a good time.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. But it's just as simple as that, thinking of the other
mm-hmm.
and what they would appreciate, what they like.
Right.
And then sharing in that. And even if it's not your cup of tea, learning to like it, or at least not conveying an attitude of, I don't want to be here. We're only doing this for you.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you're the spouse that always gets your way about, I always choose the movie. I choose where we eat out. I choose where we're going on vacation. That's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, you should be talking together as a team. Once again, collaborate.
Yeah. And let me actually say, if you're pushing back and saying, well, whenever I say, what would you like? They say, I don't care. It is possible, my friend, that your spouse has learned they don't believe you when you ask that.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do say something, it gets picked apart.
Right.
Or as you go to do it, you have a bad attitude because you didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So you have to convince them that if they were to answer, you would actually do it
mm-hmm.
and do it with a good attitude. And it would be pleasant for you all to spend that kind of time together. They may not be convinced. Oh, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to push it a little further. What does it look like in marriage? I know we're talking about marriage, but guess what? Husbands and wives should be friends. What does it look like to cultivate philia, friendship, love? Because I hope you realize a very small part of your marriage relationship is spent in the bedroom with Eros. So much of life is comprised of philia. We'll talk some more when we come back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. They're going to continue to press into what it actually looks like to be friends in marriage. Foreign concept, I know. Maybe that's where you're at right now. Maybe it's been a while since your marriage felt like a friendship. Look, that's exactly why we exist around here at Fortis Institute, because truth's not just for your head. It's supposed to touch how you live and how you love and how you treat the people in your home. And sometimes someone just needs to show you how to connect the dots. That's what Brad and Vicky are doing here with Thrive. That's what all of our podcasts and content does. That's what Fortis Plus is. That's why it exists. It's on your phone, and it's packed with biblical teaching that takes on the very things that you're facing, marriage and parenting, but also anger, anxiety, forgiveness, bitterness, loneliness, the stuff that eats away at relationships if you don't deal with it. We're adding content every day. It's already full of hundreds of hours, but we're adding to that every single day. And here's the part that I love about it. You don't pay for it, ever. You'll never run into a paywall. You'll never be asked for your credit card. It is free today. It's free forever. Fortis Plus. Look, it's all there because of our gospel partners. They made sure that it was going to be absolutely free. Gospel partners are the men and women who say, I want more people to have this. And I don't want cost to be the reason someone misses out on biblical help. So they partner with us, and they give faithfully, and they give monthly, just so you can listen freely. So here's my ask. If you've been helped by this ministry, if Thrive or any other content at Fortis Plus has given clarity and hope in a hard moment, and you're already faithfully giving to your local church, would you pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Link arms with us so someone else can get the same help you've received. All you have to do is go to fortisinstitute.org right now and get all of the questions to all of the answers that we know you have about what it would look like in your life to join us. Also, don't forget about Fortis Plus. Download Fortis Plus. Here's how you do that. You go to your app store on your phone, all right, wherever you download apps from, and you search Fortis Plus. You're going to find it absolutely free of charge. Here's another way. You go to the app store, the streaming app store on your smart TV, Roku, Amazon Fire Stick, Apple TV, or any of the other ones, because they're on a ton of them. Boom, you're going to find it there free as well. And the other thing that you can do is just go to fortisplus.org. It's that simple. All right, let's get back now to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, we've been talking about friendship, love, philia, in the context of marriage, that marriage should have that. It should have it in spades. In fact, there should be more of this than the Eros, because this is what keeps Eros alive. That sexual desire that component. That's the icing on the cake. Don't hear me discounting it and saying it doesn't matter. There's two dishes to fall into. You can act like it doesn't matter at all, but you can act like that's all that matters. And oh, I got to believe, because I do a lot of counseling, I see it up close. There are a lot of marriages that there's no friendship. Mm-hmm. There's no friendship left. I don't know if it was ever there and it died, but it certainly isn't there now. So it's worth thinking through, how do you keep alive friendship, which often means shared interest or partnership? And so I'm going to use a word right now, collaboration. That we would collaborate. We would think together about what we want to do. We would think together about the future. We would make decisions together. And so let me bring something that I have found can be clarifying and helpful to guys. So if you're a guy listening, let me clarify something that we see in the scriptures that I think sometimes is misunderstood or at least lived out in real time in a way that the Bible never intended. Mm-hmm. Genesis, the book of beginnings that tells us, how did this even happen? How are we married as husband and wife? Well, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 tells us, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. First thing worth getting in place, the man and the woman are fully created in the image of God. And while it's absolutely true that the Bible brings us and reveals to us that our God is a father, there are all kinds of places, like in Isaiah and other places, that also convey that he has attributes that we certainly would appreciate that are like a mother. Don't hear me saying he is a mother. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But there are components and aspects in relationships that a woman brings, and we want it all, where he says, how could I ever forget you? Like a mother could not forget her children. Mm-hmm. And so both husband and wife are created in the image of God. And that means both bring qualities to the relationship that should not be squelched, that need to be highlighted, that need to be acknowledged, that need to be not just allowed, but embraced and brought in. Both created in the image of God. And then in chapter 2, he says, then the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper suitable. My translation in the ESV says fit for him. And that word in the Hebrew is Ezer. And it literally meant one right across, right next to him. Notice, not down from him, not below him, not diminished, not a step down, right across from him. Again, we're going to get to roles.
Like dovetail furniture.
Yeah, we're going to get to roles in future shows. Role of husband, role of the wife. Yes, the husband is the leader. Yes, God calls him head, but God calls him head and refers it to the way Christ was the head.
Very
and guess
different.
What? Christ as the head was the biggest servant who laid down his life. And so regarding friendship and partnership, here's what I'd like you to think about. I know the scripture says it's not good for him to be alone. And it's true. We're relational beings created in the image of God, and God's a relational being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so we're like him when we relate, and we feel the pain when we're alone. But I don't think you're getting everything the scripture meant to convey. I also think God meant to convey to us, it is not good for the man to make all the decisions alone. Hmm. Now, maybe that's rocking you right now. Like, what? I should ask her what she thinks? Yes. You should draw her out. You're missing out, guys, if you're not making it easy for your wife. Now, you may have a different problem. Oh, I don't lack for knowing what she thinks. Okay. But I'm talking about perhaps your wife has decided, I don't think he really wants to know what I think about the decision on the home, or about this decision with the kids, or about this decision with the budget or the finance. I think God meant for marriage to be a collaboration where you benefit from your wife's gifts, her thoughts. She has strengths that you don't have. Yeah, she has weaknesses, but she has strengths that you... And so Vicky hinted at it a minute ago, like dovetailed furniture. I believe that if you're not careful, marriage can feel like a war because you are different.
Right.
Oh, Vicky and I in so many ways are so different.
I mean, if you could even see our notes for our show, I mean, Brad is like color coordinated. It's all stapled. It's underlined. It has orange, yellow, and what other color? Blue highlighter?
Hot pink.
I can see it. Hot pink and blue.
Big on hot pink.
Whereas I'm just like, you know, I've just got notebook paper and I've got yellow post-it notes.
When I see it lying on the kitchen table, I'm just like, oh my word.
And I number my pages.
This just looks like a snowstorm. This just looks like a drawer blew up and just little pieces of paper with scribbled writing.
And my pages are lettered A, B, C, D, E, and some of them have numbers. It's a very complicated system, but I mean, we're both very different in pretty much everything we do.
Doesn't matter because right. Do you not think her insights have been amazing?
And the funny thing is, the first time, so normally he just did this by himself, but when I joined him, I could tell it made him very nervous, like, whoa, like, what is all that stuff you're bringing? And I think you're going to get lost. And I'm just like, I
didn't say that, right?
No, you didn't say it, but I could tell it made you nervous. Like, whoa, all this paper she's bringing, what is
Because in all seriousness,
that?
It is something I've had to work at.
Yeah, it is.
To recognize and allow her to be the way God created
Thank
her.
You.
The
Thank
end
you,
game
Lord
is
Jesus.
What matters most. Fruitfulness. Is there fruit? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Does she do a great job and she can communicate? Yes. Then it shouldn't matter how she approaches it or preps or puts it together. Just praise God. Those don't have to be my notes.
And it's
like
very
that.
Freeing to me because I'm allowed to do it the way
yeah.
I want to do it.
Yeah.
And this is the way I feel most comfortable with it.
But it was something that I had to learn to lean into and say, hey, let me get your opinion on something.
Mm-hmm.
Even at work, I don't know what your job is, guys, but there's got to be a measure or a level or a place where you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So even in ministry, I don't draw her into everything that's going on. It wouldn't be appropriate. It wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be helpful to her even. But there are times that I know I would benefit from her opinion. And I'll just call her or we'll be sitting on the porch and say, hey, can I run something by you? I want to get your opinion on this. That's me tapping into collaboration with my wife.
And I'm always like, sure.
And,
I have an opinion about pretty much
yeah,
anything.
I've never
say.
Had her say, gosh,
I have
I'm drawing
opinions.
A blank here, Brad. I have absolutely no thought on that. And, you know, very often as we wrestle our way through something, I will have only thought of one way to do this. And I'm so type A. And I've got a gift of teaching, and there's just such clarity in my mind on stuff. I just can't even see another way. And after we end up talking, I've been amazed how many times I'm like, I never would have seen that, but that's a better way.
Mm-hmm. It's collaboration.
This is better.
A partner, a
But
team.
I had to invite her in, draw her in, and actually start with having a mindset of believing, did God bring her into my life to bring wisdom, to bring insight, to help mm-hmm. me make better decisions?
And I'll say yes. the same thing about you. I mean, so a lot of times I'll spend, just because of we're in ministry, we have a large church, just to, I'll do like phone counseling with different people. So anyway, I talked to a woman and I was getting ready to call her back. So I asked Brad, he was going over a sermon. And just like that, like that's something that he's done that's newer. He has a study and it has glass French doors.
Here at the house.
Yeah. And I mean, I try to not disturb him when he's working on a sermon or whatever, you know. But it takes like 6 hours a time. But anyway, I'll just knock on the door and he's like, oh, come on in. Have a seat. Sit down. Twirl around because his chair twirls. So I just really appreciate he's like, if I need to talk to him, I can. But anyway, I just gave him this scenario and said, hey, I'm getting ready to call her back. Let me just get your feedback. Do you think I'm off base here? Is this biblical what I'm getting ready to say to her? Blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I've got to write this down. This is so good. And it was so clarifying. And I think it really, as I called this mom back, it was very helpful to her. So I just think we're both trying to lean into my opinion alone is not the final authority of Jesus. Like, he's given us each other as a team, as a partner, as a friendship. And once again, we can't do this on every single thing. We're not saying like, okay, I'm at Kroger and I call Brad and say, should I buy the hot pickles or the sweet salt? I mean, you know, we're not doing that.
But what we do want you to hear, it goes both ways.
Right. And that's a new thought, I think.
I think sometimes guys think, I'm not supposed to learn anything from my wife. I'm supposed to make the decision. That's what it means to be a leader. That's not what it means to be a biblical leader.
Mm-hmm.
Ezer was the Hebrew word. One right across from you. One right mm-hmm. next to you. One, and here's what's so interesting. We're going to get into it more when we touch on roles.
Yeah,
but
I was just going to say that.
It's worth noting, a helper
mm-hmm.
fit. God thought you needed help, dude. Don't act like you don't. He designed her and created marriage to be that you have this helper, this co-partner, this partner. And the reason we're touching on this now is because that's so often what friendship is like.
Mm-hmm.
Real friendship is not comprised of one person always just kind of talks down to the other. One person does all the talking.
In fact, if that's what it is, you're not going to have any
That
friends.
Usually is the end of a friendship.
Yes.
Friendship, even if you don't agree on everything, is that back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking through something. He says, I say, he says, I say, he says, she says. And friendship was built on you're in a realm that you both care about, but you're both sharing what you think.
Yeah, because if you have a friendship and one person just basically, they dominate and they talk the whole time and it's all about them, and you don't even get to say anything, that's not a true friendship. I mean, it's some type of relationship. I don't know. It's one you don't really want to be a part of.
Yeah.
But marriage shouldn't be that. It should be a back and forth.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk later about, you know, like you said, there's probably four or five times where you've just said, I really think we should do this. And I was like, I don't think so. I don't know. I'm scared. Like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like moving to this house. Brad's like, I'm thinking when we're 70, we'll move. He's like, oh no, we're starting today on the dotted line.
But I didn't drag you kicking and screaming. You.
No.
But I said, I really
And now
think,
I see it was the best thing. I would not have wanted to move when I'm 70. This was way too much work.
We're talking about love, but we're talking about biblical love that has a component of philia, friendship, that means partnership, that actually touches on collaboration. You guys should be co-creators. You're thinking through life together. You're making decisions together. You're talking things through together because there's a partnership. It just might change the tone of your marriage if you understood every level of biblical love.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.